Before we get into the message tonight, which is entitled Outworking of His Will, which is kind of the what I'm talking about in the evening meetings, especially tonight and tomorrow night, I just want to have a little short recap of what we talked about yesterday night. We talked about the two greats, the Great Invitation and the Great Commission. Great Invitation is, you know, Jesus invites us to come to Him. Yes, as we are, to spend time with Him, to get to know Him, to be His friend, to spend time in His Word, in prayer. The Great Invitation. The Great Commission is to go, to tell others about Jesus, to tell others about the greatest message this world has ever known, about the everlasting gospel. Great Invitation, the Great Commission. We talked about how these two things should be the priority of our lives. These two things, how they should be the all-absorbing aim of our lives, you know. When you think about it, when Jesus soon comes back, the only thing that really matters, you know, it doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank, a nice car we have, a nice clothes we have, or whatever. The only thing that really matters is, you know, our relationship to Jesus Christ. The only two things we talked about we can bring to heaven is what? You remember? Two things we can take to heaven. Our character and converts, people will lead to Jesus. So we talked about how the only things that really matters when Jesus soon come back, how they should be the priority right now. What we would have prioritized if we had 1 month to live, yeah, if we have 30 minutes to live, that we make those things a priority today, that we should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. So that's a short recap of the message yesterday. I will invite you before we start, or as we get into the message tonight, to turn with me to Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Some interesting verses, some powerful promise, really, when we think about it. Luke, chapter 11, and I want us to read from Luke, chapter 11, from verse 10. Here it says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." I think Vanessa has this verse on her phone cover. I think that's nice. Powerful verse. He who asks, he who seeks will find. He who asks will receive, right? And then it says in verse 11, "And he who knocks it will be open." Verse 11. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, if you know a son asks his father for a fish, will his father give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You know, God longs to give His Spirit to us. He longs to speak to us. He longs to come close to us and live close to us. And He wants to do that tonight and this week if we ask Him to. So before I start, before we get into the message tonight, I just want us to invite Him to speak to us and to tell us, to help us understand what He wants to tell us through this message, what individually, you know, it's different things He might want to tell us through His Spirit, and He wants us to understand and take with us from this message. So before I pray, I just want to have a short moment of silence where each of us, you and also myself, can silently pray in our hearts and pray that God may speak to us tonight and give Him permission to speak to us through His Spirit. Shall we do that? Let's bow our heads and invite God to speak to us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that You have promised to give to him who asks. You have promised that he who seeks will find. I promise that when we pray for Your Spirit, that You may speak to us, that You may draw near to us, Lord, You will. You long to do that. As soon as we give You a permission, You long to come close to us. You long to reveal Yourself to us. You long to help us understand better Your great, grand plan for our lives individually. Lord, we want You to speak to us tonight and this week, to draw us closer to You. Lord, Help us to understand. Help us to focus tonight. You know, see, many things have happened today, but help us to pay attention to the words. Help us to help me, Lord, to communicate in a way that will be best tonight, Lord, for bringing us closer to you. Lord, lead my words. Lead our help. Give us energy and discernment to understand what you want to tell us. Lord, thank you that you're here. And that you will answer this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wes Peppers, as you can see on the picture here. In a moment, yeah. On the left there, together with my brother Christian, which is coming here tomorrow. He was the teacher of my brother, also my sister, at AFCO, Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism, their evangelism college in California, some years ago. And he had a quite special experience, that Wes Peppers, his teacher, or the teacher there, one of the teachers there, that I want to share with you tonight. As he was actually a student at AFCO, they went out, they were out going door to door, doing some surveys, and it was in the middle of February, and it was cold. It was in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, so there they had a lot of snow in this time. It was cold, it was snow, lots of snow on the ground, and they were out doing outreach from early afternoon to late at night. And they were told, you know, don't stop until this and this time, yeah? And that was like 3 hours after it got dark. It got dark early in this time of the year, yeah, up there. So this day he was going outreach. He was going door to door, you know, it was cold, it was raining, it was snowy, it was dark. And he was hungry, in addition to that, yeah? And usually, what he and his outreach partner did every week, his outreach partner was Adam Ramdin. Some of you might know him. He's currently the youth director of the North England Conference. They were going together, and they had this tradition that every Thursday night after outreach, they went to this restaurant and ate some Thai food. That was one of his favorite foods, yeah? So he looked forward to this, you know. He was hungry, and especially this day, you know, it wasn't a very good day on outreach. You know, not every day you have a really good experience. You see really good things happening. We don't always see right away what God is doing, you know. Not every day is as easy when we go outreach. There are challenging days, yeah. And this day was a day like that for him. It wasn't a particularly good day. It was lots of rejections at the door. Many doors were just closed right in front of his face. And it wasn't a good day. And he was really, as time was ticking, as time was going, he was, again and again, he was looking on his watch, you know, and he was just waiting for the time to be up, you know, and he thought, it's almost up, it's almost time to go, and he looked forward to get some food. He was hungry to go and eat some of his favorite foods, right, to eat some Thai food. And then after that, to get home, to get a hot shower, and then just slide into bed. That's what he was waiting for, yeah, as he was going there. And so finally, the time comes. It's time to quit. It's time to go home from outreach, yeah? And he said, you know, it's time to quit. He took his stuff. He threw it in the truck. He jumped into the car, and he started the car. And he was waiting there for his outreach partner to come so they could drive off and get some food. But the problem was, or when he did this, he had only 3 houses left on his street. Only 3 houses left on his street. And as he sat there in the car, he kind of felt this conviction, this pricking in his heart, this impression in his heart that he should finish that street today. And as he got this impression, he said, Lord, I would be happy to finish the street, but I'll do it next day on outreach. Now it's time to go. Time is up. It's dark, you know. But he felt this impression. No, you need to... felt that God was impressing him. You need to finish it today. You need to finish the street today. But he said, no, Lord, it's late. It's dark. People will start to get annoyed if I come to their doors now. I will do it next time. The first thing I do, next outreach, I will go there. I will be happy to finish the street. But he felt that God impressed him. No, you need to finish it today. You need to finish the street today. So finally, reluctantly, he said, he decided to follow the impression, the conviction, and he got out, he got his stuff back out again from the car, and he went to the first door of these three houses, and he knocked. And this young dude, he opened up, and he came out, and he, you know, Wes is starting his intro, you know, my name is Wes, and we're here to do a survey, and this and that, and as he's saying these things, this guy, he looks at him, and then he looks outside, and then he says to him, you know, do you realize that it is dark, it's cold, and it's raining? And Wes, he says, yes, you know, that's why I'm here, you know. But then he says, you must be an absolute idiot, and he slams the door. And Wes is like, what? Yeah, he wasn't very happy. But he goes to the next door. And, you know, a lady answers, open the door. And, you know, he says again, my name is Wes, and we're here to do a survey. And about the time he gets out his name, she just closes the door. And he is like, Lord, are you testing my character? What is this? You know, why should I take these houses? You know, and he thought again. You know, it's time to go. You know, time's up. There's no need to be out here anymore. But he felt again, no, go to the last house. He felt, had his impression in his on his heart. So he went to he goes to the last door, and he knocks. You know, a lady opens the door. And, you know, he says, my name is Wes, I'm here to do a survey. And, you know, she says, please, come in. And so he goes in, he sits down, and she asks, you know, what do you have to offer me? And, you know, he goes through the questions, the survey, and at the end of the survey, he invites this lady for Bible studies. And as he does that, you know, she asks, sat there for a minute with a blank look at her face. And then all of a sudden, she has started to cry. And he's like, what did I do wrong? You know, he's kind of wondering. And he says, you know, ma'am, are you okay? Did I say something offensive? Are you all right? You know, he can't really understand what is going on there. And she says, you know, you don't understand. When I was growing up, I was living in an abusive home. My father claimed to be a Christian. But on the way home from church, he would scream to us kids and to our mother. And when we got home, he would beat us all the way into our rooms. He claimed to be a Christian, but he really wasn't. As I grew up, I never was able to get over this. And I experienced many tragedies in my life. And she said, you know, 3 months ago, you know, I had enough. And I told God, God, if you are real, I want you to reveal yourself to me. God, if you are there, if you have a purpose for my life, if you have a meaning for my life, I want you to reveal yourself to me. Lord, I'm giving you 3 months. And if you don't do that within 3 months, I'm going to end my life. This lady was on disability. She had all kind of problems. She couldn't work. She couldn't really take care of herself and her house so much. And she said, you know, God, I give you 3 months. And then after saying this, you know, she looked Wes. She looked him in the face, yeah, in his eyes, and he said, every day I pray that prayer, God, you have 20 days left. God, you have 15 days left. God, you have 10 days left. And she said, today is the last day of those 3 months. And as this happened, you know, Wes, he was thinking to himself, what if I would have waited until Sunday? What if I would have said, no, Lord, there is always another day. There is always another time. I don't need to go today. I can go tomorrow. I can go next day. Maybe if I would have come to that house on Sunday, it would have been yellow police tape around the house. The thing is, if you go to the next slide, all over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. God has people that He wants us to reach this week. God has people He wants you to reach this year. Maybe people in your neighborhood, maybe people in your work, I don't know. But God has a plan for our lives. Next slide. I will instruct thee and teach thee the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, God says. He has a plan for our lives, and He wants to show us what that is. He wants our lives to be an outworking of His will. He wants to lead us into His plan for our lives. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And here is one of my favorite quotes from Ellen White. It's Desire of Ages, page 668. Listen to this. Powerful quote. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before Him, just what course to pursue. God has a plan for our ways and our paths, for big decisions and small decisions. He wants to lead us and show us exactly what He wants us to do every day, every decision He wants us to take. Come with me to the book of Ephesians. I want to read a powerful passage. It's a pretty well-known passage, at least especially the first verses. But we'll notice especially one of the verses that is not as known. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 8. So after Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, we have Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Here it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now, you know, the Bible is very, very clear. It's very important, you know. We are saved through faith, through grace. It's a gift of God. It's nothing we can deserve. It's only by the grace and gift of God that we can be saved. But it's important to understand that we need to receive not only God's grace of forgiveness, but also His transforming grace into our life. You know, the Bible was given not only for our information, but for our transformation. God wants every human being to be saved, but if He takes everyone to heaven, heaven would not be heaven. We would have strife, we would have selfishness, we would have many bad things. Something needs to happen with us. Jesus said, unless man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I like to say it like this in English. We are saved by faith, but by faith that works. A faith that works will change our lives. You know, a true faith, a true trust in God will change our life. Luther, I like how he said it as well. He said, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. True faith in God will change our lives completely. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone. Behold, everything is new, it says. So, anyway, that's the backdrop. Now, I want us to focus especially on verse 10. That's kind of the verse for this evening. It says here, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Now, this is a powerful verse. This is a verse worthy to post on your Facebook wall or to print and put on your wall at home or something. It's a powerful verse. You know, as certain as we are saved by faith, that God wants to save every human being, that he died for you and for me, as certain it is that God has a place for you and me in his work, that he has a plan for us to reach out to other people, to lead, to be involved in this work of leading people to Jesus Christ. It's as certain as he has a place for us in heaven, it is that he has a place for us in his work down on this earth. You know, God has a place for every planet in the universe. He has a place for the atoms. He's leading things, the small things, the big things in this universe, and he has a place for you and for me in his work, in his great and grand plan for this planet, for this universe. And you know, it says in the next quote here, it's an interesting statement: order is heaven's first law. And the more we study nature, the more we study science, the more we study the human body, the more we study the universe, we see that God is a God of order. Order is heaven's first law. Now, the next quote I want to read is a really powerful quote. Listen to this. A beautiful quote from the pen of Ellen White. It's in The Faith I Live By, page 28. It says here, "An unseen hand guides the planets in their circuit of the heavens. The God of heaven is constantly at work. It is by his power that vegetation is caused to flourish, that every leaf appears and every flower blooms. Every drop of rain or flake of snow, every spire of grass, every leaf and flower and shrub testifies of God. These little things so common around us teach the lessons that nothing is beneath the notice of the infinite God. Nothing is too small for his attention." And the quote goes on. Listen to this. "The hand that sustains the worlds in space, the hand that holds in their orderly arrangement and tireless activity all things throughout the universe of God, is the hand that was nailed to the cross for us." Isn't that a beautiful quote? God has a plan for the universe. He has a plan for every little plant in this world. He has a plan for you and for me. And not only does he have a plan for every planet, not only does he have a plan for every plant, he has a plan, a special plan, a specific plan for you and for me. It's another quote here from Ministry of Healing. It says, we'll just read the part in yellow here. "Every man has his place in the eternal plan of heaven. Whether we fill that place depends upon our own faithfulness in cooperating with God." I could show you many quotes and verses. Could share with you afterwards. We don't have time to get into all of it. But God has a specific place. He has a specific place he wants us to be, a specific thing he wants us to do, that he calls us to do. Now, turn with me to Psalm 139. It's another well-known passage, but it's a very beautiful passage. We'll not take time to read the whole psalm, but I want us to read a couple of these verses tonight. Psalm 139, and we'll begin in the beginning, in verse 1. Psalm 139, it's a psalm of David, King David, which was a man after God's heart. Though he fell, he turned back to God, and God forgave him. Here it says, verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." We can jump down to verse 13. "For you formed me my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Verse 16, "Your eyes," listen to this, very interesting, "your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I think especially want us to note verse 16. You know, God saw us before we were born, before we were formed in our mother's womb. He saw us and he had a plan for every day of our lives. He that know every hair on our head, he had a plan for this day. July, what do we have today? 22nd, 2015. He had a plan for this day. He knew that we would sit here. It's not a coincidence that we are here. It's not a coincidence that we have the neighbors we have, that we have the classmates they have. God had a plan. I like how it says in Steps to Christ, it says, it's a beautiful quote, it says, no tears are shed that God does not notice. There is no smile that he does not mark. He has a plan for you and for me. He has a plan for every year, for every month, and for every day. And not only does he have a plan, but he has a great plan. Let's read a few beautiful promises. Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And one of my favorite verses, Psalms 84, for the Lord God is sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. Just a few good things will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Is that what it says? Just a few good things will he withhold from us when we follow him. No, it says no good thing will he keep away from us when we follow him. He doesn't keep away the good things. He gives us the good life. One more verse. Or we can delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now listen to this. Beautiful verse, Psalm 16. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, it's many things that can give us joy and happiness in this world. But only God, only as we follow his plan for our lives, we will experience fullness of joy. Only when we follow God and his guidance and his plan for our lives, will we experience joy forevermore. Joy that lasts forever. Sometimes we have joy maybe for a little time and it's nice there and then. But God's joy is the only joy that is the full joy and everlasting joy. Of course, he that created us, it's like if you buy a car and the producer of the car, you know, you buy a Volvo, yeah, Swedish car, yeah, and this is a diesel car. Would you put petrol in it, benzene in it? We wouldn't try it. We trust that those who made a car, they know that this car is best with diesel. Yeah, it's not a good idea to put something else. Of course, similarly, God has created us. He knows best what will truly satisfy our hearts, what will truly give us joy and meaning and purpose and peace in our lives. He's the only one that truly knows. He knows better than we even know ourselves what will be best for us. And of course, he was willing to give his own son. Of course, he will freely give all good things together with him. God has a perfect plan for all parts of our lives, for where we should live, for what we should do, how we should use our talents, what we should work with, who we should marry, whatever it is. God has a perfect plan for all parts of our lives. You know, it says, Paul, he writes that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I like how it says in Prophets and Kings, listen to this powerful quote, in the life of the true Christian, there are no non-essential. In the sight of omnipotence, every duty is important. God has a perfect plan for every part of our life. Now, basically what we will do the rest of the time tonight, I will basically share some testimonies, some stories, some experiences I have had of how I've seen some ways how God has been leading things, I believe, leading me and people into God's already prepared good work. Some testimonies of how I think God has been, leading me into his plan. Now, you can go to the next picture here. The first impact trip in Norway, 2009, we went up with this nice prophecy bus, as we call it. On the side of the, you see some pictures from prophecy and Bible verses and things like this. In the back, you have Daniel 2 and whatever, and Bible correspondence course advertisements, really cool. We always use this drive through all of Norway. And go to the next slide. The first impact trip we had was to Hammerfest, the northernmost town in the world. very annoyed. We used 3 days to drive up there. The distance from Oslo today is like Oslo to Rome. It's a far, far, far up north. It's no sun in the winter. It's sun all the time in the summer. Yeah, it's a special place. And now, as we were there, 3 weeks mission trip took, you know, we used 5 days traveling. So when we first went up there, we had some time there. Now it was the last day of our efforts. And a truck driver, he was passing by the place where we had some total seminars. He was in the brand new culture house of the city. And he was invited in. He came to the very last evening of our seminars. And afterwards, he joined us for a boat trip in the midnight sun. It was sponsored by the municipality, actually, as a kind of as a thank you from the community to what we had done there as a group. We were about 60 of us. And so he came for the boat trip as well, this truck driver. We invited him to join us in the midnight sun. Very nice, beautiful nature out in the water there, you know. Very nice. Now, about a year later, this guy, Todor is his name, he wrote us an email. And he said that he wanted to know all about religion. He wanted to know how to have a relationship with God, what books he should read. And I was able to meet him. I gave him some books. I gave him a CD. And he was a truck driver, so I thought he can listen to meetings as he drives, you know. And a few days later, like 4 days later, we had listened to 10 meetings. And he said, you know, I need more of this. I kept contact with him. I met him from time to time. I wrote to him from time to time. And he was really soaking in the Word of God. And after some time, after some months, I told him, hey, told him about the Adventist church in the city where he was living. It was in Gothenburg, actually, in Sweden. And he said, he was happy to hear, you know, when I told him, hey, it's a church, you should check it out, you know. But he said, why didn't you tell me before, you know. Sometimes that's not the first thing you tell them, so I waited a little bit. I didn't really know the church there either. But he was happy to hear. And long story short, eventually he got baptized and is now an active member in the church. And what happened was, the story started 5,500 kilometers away from Hammerfest. Todor, he prays to God, God, show me the right church. Shortly after, Todor moves up to, I think it was Sweden, it is Sweden and Norway, has been living in both. And the very first trip on his new job was up to Hammerfest. All the way up, you know, long, long trip. He has never been there before, he has never been there afterwards. He was there only for 1 day, and he met us, he joined the meetings. What he heard in the meetings, the people he met, the friendly, joyful, peaceful, temperate, peculiar people he met on this boat trip, it made an impression on him, an impact for eternity. He prayed, we prayed, God led us together. God led us into His already prepared good works.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.